Shut up. I'm listening to Zdeněk's English podcast.
You're listening to Zdeněk's English podcast, by far the greatest English podcast on earth for English learners since sliced bread. My name is Zdeněk, and I'm your host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Zdeněk's English podcast, which is a podcast that is hosted by me, who goes by the name of Zdeněk. I'm an English teacher, and currently I'm based in Vietnam. I am still in Vietnam, that's right. And I know I have not been publishing many episodes lately, and this is a podcast that has been around for quite a while. I would say I've been recording it since time immemorial, and so that means for a really, really long time, for as long as I can remember. But, you know, priorities in life led me to this decision that I don't publish as often as I perhaps could, should. I don't know. Honestly, it is what it is. But at the same time, I want to keep this podcast, right? I don't want to get rid of it. I want to keep it going because I know there are a lot of people who know me through it. For example, my private student, my one-to-one student, Lazo. Hi, Lazo. I hope you are listening as usual. And this podcast is for you as well. Basically, what I need to tell you in this short introduction is it's an apology. It's an apology because the sound in this episode, unfortunately, is not going to be up to the standards of the next English podcast. And the reason for it is because I've been struggling with technology lately. Unfortunately, I was forced to record this episode on my phone. And yeah, let's say it's difficult to combine all the features that I have to use because I use the service called StreamYard for recording my interviews, because this episode is an interview with my mate Kieran, my friend and ex-colleague from the school that I taught in when I was living in London back in 2020. Speak Up London was the name of the school. And basically, this is unfortunate, but I tried to do something about it anyway, and I pulled the sound through an AI software, and it is slightly better, but honestly, it's still pretty bad, and it's bad for a different reason. Now it sounds like it's too AI, basically, too robotic. Something wrong about the sound, right? Let me play you the original sound. And then I will play you the whole episode, I promise. Okay, so this was the original sound.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Zdeněk's English podcast. I'm the host of the show. My name is Zdeněk Lukas, and I have a guest. As usual, it's been a while since I welcomed Kieran on the podcast. Welcome back.
Hello.
How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm still living in the same circumstances that I was. Was it during COVID that I last spoke to you?
So, okay, so that should be enough to give you the idea of how bad it was before I let AI do its business. And this is the actual episode. I hope it's a little bit better at least. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give this video a like if you're watching it on the YouTube channel, because in that way it will help other people see it. Okay, that's it. Thank you and enjoy this episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Zdeněk's English podcast. I'm the host of the show. My name is Zdeněk Lukas, and I have a guest. As usual, it's been a while since I welcomed Kieran on the podcast. Welcome back.
Hello.
How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm still living in the same circumstances that I was. Was it during COVID that I last spoke to you?
I was checking the podcast we did, and it was published in February 2021. So I believe
that was in the middle. That was right in the middle.
Is that in the middle? I thought it was after COVID. I can't remember anymore.
Well, that was kind of, I think we knew the cure was on the way, but
right. The cure was underway. It sounds like a zombie apocalypse or something.
Well, it was like that. It was like a zombie.
It was a little bit like a zombie apocalypse, yeah. You're right. So remember what we recorded that podcast about, Kieran? Do you still remember?
Yeah, that was the book I wrote, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you'd written a book called Battery Life, right? Battery Life, which you gave me a copy back in 2019 in a pub. When, like, we were working in the same language school called Speak Up, right? And then we went for beer or something, and you gave me a copy of your book, which I thought was a very nice gesture. And then I read the book and decided to do a podcast with you about it. But it was not just you, wasn't it?
No, I wrote it with my friend. Yeah, me and my friend wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And then on the... Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. So it was the two of you. So it was quite cool as well, because it doesn't happen here much. But now it's just you. So I hope it's okay for you, for the listeners and you as well. Hope you don't feel lonely, you know, something. Yeah. Your friend Nick White, right?
That's it.
Yeah. And it was episode 350, and it was called Battery Life, an interview with the authors.
That's right, yeah, that's it. Did you read all of it?
I think I did in the end.
Did you?
I think I might have read like 80 or 90% of it or something.
Oh, that's good. That's more than most people.
No, it was a good book. I enjoyed it. I really did. It's a collection of short stories, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Basically, in my eyes, Kieran, you're like a modern age James Joyce, because it feels a little bit like reading Dubliners.
Yeah. No, I did. I read the Dubliners like slightly before that. Yeah, it must have been a bit.
Yeah, it must have been, because I think there's like, these are seemingly independent sort of stories, but I think there is always some kind of connection, right? Or something.
Yeah, I think it's probably like an unconscious connection, though, because I never quite made out what the connection was, but everybody who's read it says that.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it. Obviously, these stories are set in London, I think, right? That's where you live in. And that's where your characters, like the characters you created, I think they were inspired by some real life characters as well, I bet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And real things that happened.
Yeah. Well, this is just a short reminder to our listeners. They can always listen to this sort of gem of an episode, in my opinion. It's quite a good one, where we sort of analyze your book, or you give the listeners your sort of overview of the book. And I really enjoyed that. I remember I really enjoyed that, and then listening back to it and stuff. But since then, we haven't really spoken to each other much.
Right, you've been in Vietnam.
That's true. That's kind of my fault, yeah. I've decided to disappear from Europe, basically, right? Living in Vietnam for more than 2 years now.
How is it over there? Is it better than London?
It's better in some sense, but obviously London is also great in other ways. So it's hard to say. Like, it's when people ask me to compare places, even Czech Republic and Vietnam, and or Czech Republic and England, it's so hard for me to give them a simple answer, because I don't think it exists. It's very complex, you know, and it's based on a lot of. And aspect
into Asia, so I don't know.
Right.
But I can see it's different.
Well, I've decided to stay here longer than in London, so that tells you something. I think it's easier in some
way. Yeah, definitely gonna be easier.
Easier. Especially in terms of making ends meet. Yeah. Getting by financially, I think, is the main thing for me.
Yeah.
That's why I can afford to be here longer, and I don't have to worry about overworking, which, if I wanted to live a decent life in London, I would have to. And I chose not to. I chose just to live a simple life in London, but then you can't afford much, right? So
that's right. Yeah. No, you have to work a lot here to.
Exactly.
To live comfortably, you have to.
That's it. And I sacrificed. I always would, because that's the kind of person I am. I can't do like 8 hours a day. like other teachers could speak up London, not me. That's not me, man. Yeah, I know you can. I know you can. I remember you really working extremely hard round the clock.
I did it every day, right? Now it doesn't seem that weird to me.
Maybe you're just more hardworking than me, you know?
Yeah, or I'm just like, you know, I just kind of surf my way through teaching.
I think you give me this impression of a calm person as well. Maybe it's your personality as well, because whenever I teach, I just sort of put in so much effort and, you know, I don't know, maybe it's that's just sort of like sucking energy out of me or something, you know? I enjoy it, but then...
It does, but I don't realize it, I don't think. It just kind of hits Friday how tired I am, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I always put you down someone very phlegmatic, you know, someone who's just sort of like always cool and calm and level-headed.
Well, a little bit, yeah. I guess I improvise quite a lot during teaching.
So I do all the time, the same.
If I planned everything, it would just eat my whole life up. So I'm just kind of, right, let's just go in, see who's there, read the room.
It's the best. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the most authentic way. And I do it too. Now I teach online mainly. And I teach in this kind of way. I can plan too, like if it's necessary or if it's required by my students, by my clients, she could say.
Do you think that's easier or harder?
It's the wrong question. I think it suits my personality more to improvise. I am that kind of person as well. I think we are quite similar in that.
Because I find that improvise online very well.
I can do that, but that's weird. Really?
I need to like physically move around the room and draw things on a board, objects, and throw them and stuff like that.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, it's just the way I teach these days. I just sort of improvise. And the thing is, my students are on board with that, because I wouldn't do that if they weren't, right? For me, it's really important that they enjoy the lessons and they want me to be their teacher long term. And if they don't, then I'm doing something wrong, but I can't do this.
I've never had complaints about it, you know?
Yeah. Could it be that just the students are too easy these days and too, like, not demanding enough or something? I don't know. Well, I'd be just lucky to have actually...
It could be that they prefer it being more spontaneous.
And that's who we are.
Challenge of, like, we have to deal with this. Like, what are you talking about?
And I think it's this podcast as well. It's very spontaneous. We started sort of catching up, right, on this podcast. First, I reminded the listeners of who you are, what we've done on this podcast before. Then we sort of went on to talk about London. I should ask you, so how is London these days? Has anything changed?
Yeah, it's a lot same old. Worse. It's a lot worse.
It's always the answer of a Londoner, right? Like, sort of like every Englishman would speak in this way. You're very self-deprecating, yeah? I don't know whether it's like a genuine answer, or is it really that bad?
No, I think it's worse. I think homelessness has gone up. Crime has gone up. It's more expensive.
As in you? Are you involved in that or not?
No. Well, not really.
Well, not really. Well, actually. You're paying your taxes and stuff.
Of course I am, yeah. No, I mean, I'm working in Camden now, and...
Are you? Oh, okay. Well, that's an area famous for a lot of weird stuff, like magic mushrooms and stuff like that.
It's a bit like the Amsterdam of London, isn't it? And, yeah, there's lots of... the crime's gone up. There's more homelessness. There's, like, tents pitched all around the...
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like camping site now in London.
Yeah, like tents of homeless people. It never used to be that bad.
Really? So wait a minute. But you now have like the Labour government, right? They should look after the people more, right? Keir Starmer is more sort of pro people person rather than the Conservatives, right? So why hasn't that helped?
Well, they've always said that, but you know, life in London, I don't think there's ever been a trustworthy government ever.
Yeah. Is it the politicians for you?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's much better in places like America, right?
Oh, yes, it's much better in America right now. Yeah.
That'd be Donald Trump backing business. That guy's cracking the uppies.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, like, you know, like, politically, the UK has always been okay. It never gets that bad. But right. It's never been great either.
Doesn't it depend on who you are? Like, if you are a rich person like Boris Johnson or someone like who studied in Eton, maybe like.
Yeah, they're all like that. They're all like that.
Yeah, but then it doesn't affect you. Like, no matter what happens, you're always well off, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if you're rich, you're kind of okay.
So it's just the teachers who are on the receiving end. So don't we just need to go on strike or something, you know?
But that's the thing. If you go on strike, no one will help you because there's no unions anymore.
We create one. You left the European Union, so we might as well create the workers' union. Teachers' union.
How do you create those? You know,
just start with a podcast online or something.
The union podcast. And discuss our failures. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about Starmer. Like, I mean, I think he seems okay, personally, but I'm not really in the loop. I kind of gave up on politics. I don't really think about it anymore.
I bet a lot of people have done that. Probably the best decision of their life, too.
I just kind of, like, I unplugged a lot from during COVID, towards the end of COVID.
Yeah,
I just kind of unplugged myself from media and didn't really pay much attention to it. I just got on with my life. And then,
this is the best solution to all your life problems these days. I think a lot of us, we are just manipulated by what's happening online as well. Can't avoid it. I'm the kind of person who sort of consumes, unfortunately, the daily news, and I just cannot avoid it. Like, I just click it. I click it when I have like 5 seconds to spare. I click it. I read headlines mainly, but it's enough to.
The trouble now is that you can believe. Even less now, because AI has come onto the picture.
That's a big one, right?
Yeah, it just creates fake news stories, and you go like, everything's fake now. But
it feels like,
stupid.
Yeah, it feels like there was life before. We should say before TV. Then TV came along. Then mobile phones, smartphones, in the internet. I don't know what was first, phones or internet. Kind of simultaneously came along that technology. Internet, then phones, and now we have AI, and it feels like a new chapter, sort of, right? Almost.
Yeah, I'm still kind of getting used to it. I'm still finding my ropes with AI. It's it's a little bit. Oh, I sit on the fence with it, though. How do you feel about AI?
Yeah, I can see some risks and dangers, but I can see the positives and the benefits, and it's kind of cool, but yeah, it's not all perfect, is it? Like, one thing we should say is that our job is in jeopardy.
Yeah, I don't know, but everyone's job.
That's true. Yeah,
any job everyone that will survive are manual labor jobs like plumbers, late electrician.
That's true, but what about doctors? Like, you always need doctors. You think, look, you got AI doctors? Like, AI will be diagnosing people? Or...
But it's the same thing with teachers, though, in a way. So you could say,
yeah,
like, can an AI bot really do... Not obviously in, like, 25 years it will be able to, but I think it's going to take a while before that catches up.
We'll probably try and buy
that. My students talk about that. They just say, well, AI can get you an instant answer, but it's not going to get you engagement necessarily.
That's true. It just doesn't feel right. And
yeah,
there's this human element, isn't there?
Yeah. Like, and there's nuance.
Talking to your teacher and classmates as well at the same time. And AI is just too, it feels too perfect, right? As well, too perfect. Up to the point that it becomes boring.
Yeah, that's it. No, perfect stuff is alright. It's like when you walk around a really clean city. You go, oh, it's just a bit too. There's that. It's sterile, you know.
Yes, Terra. That's a good word to use. That's a good word to use. How do you think this podcast survived on imperfection?
Good. Yeah. Sometimes you want that's the good thing about London is it's always dirty and imperfect. Can you speak any Vietnamese?
Not really. Just a few phrases. No, nothing too major. I can ask for ice cream and I can count when, because I play pickleball, which is like a sport that I got into here, and I can count the pickleball score. It's a little bit like tennis, but on a smaller court, and there's a particular way of counting the points, and that helped me learn all the numbers. So,
yeah. You traveled to the other parts of Asia too. Did you go to like Thailand? I've
been to Thailand, yes, a few times, but like I didn't spend much time there. I haven't done really much, let's say, sort of exploring. But mostly here in Vietnam. One thing I have to say is that I finally learned how to ride a motorbike, which was a big one for me because I had been really scared. You have no idea. I've been so anxious about that because I hadn't been a driver, like even had never had my own car. So like doing that was a big, big thing for me. Sort of overcame my fears, you know.
Yeah. I know how to drive. I'm not that confident with it.
Right.
But I've never driven a motorbike. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I have a friend as well who spent a long time in Southeast Asia riding motorbikes around.
Yeah, he said, yes, that's what you do here. Like, you can't really not do it here. That's the thing. Like, you kind of can, because there's like a taxi through the, you can book it through an app and it's cheap. At the end of the day, like ultimately, you have to get your own bike, at least rent it, or otherwise it's weird. Because like even like when you find yourself a girlfriend, let's say,
yes,
she's gonna be the driver and you're the passenger seat. It just looks weird. You're the tall guy usually, right? As well, because girls are smaller than you. It just looks weird, man.
But yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you have to go, oh, can you drive me home?
Exactly. in that tone and voice, yeah.
Can you drive me home, please? It's honey.
Like being, yeah, worse than a kid. Well, overdrawn kid.
In the countryside, and like, all my friends were drivers. And when it was like time to go home, it was like, can I get a lift now, please?
It almost sounds like you're one of those like low IQ people, you know. So occasionally you have like a village idiot or something. So it almost sounds with that voice, sounding like that.
Oh, I grew up the village idiot then.
You were the smart one there, the one-eyed. What do you call it? The one-eyed king? What's the expression?
Oh yeah, in the land of the blinds, the one-eyed king, the one-eyed man king. That's it. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
Maybe. I just walked too far and I left, you know. I found myself on the outskirts and I kept walking.
Hesty.
And then I found myself in the city.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. So where in London are you based now? Have you moved or are you still in the same area?
No, I'm in Bounds Green. Well, I'm actually up the road from where I lived before. I didn't really move very far.
So I can't remember where it was in the first place.
Wood Green and Bounds Green, which is north.
Wood Green is in the north, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And Bounds Green is like the stop.
It's about the port zone, about port zone or so, or
it's on the border of 3 and 4. Yeah, it's Alexandra Palace, which is where the Alexandra
Palace is the highest sort of peak of London, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know if it's the harsh.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like.
It's the old BBC building.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes they hold some concerts there, right? Or something.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to some. Yeah. That's great. When there's a concert up the road, like you don't have to get a train there or a bus there.
So you can just walk up the hill and you're there, right? It's like a hill. It's like a big hill, yeah?
Yeah. And then on the other side of the valley, well, you get all the rich area like Hampstead and Muswell Hill.
Yeah. Sounds quite majestic and Greek as well.
It is Greek, yeah. It's a very Greek area around here.
Yeah.
I live on a...
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there actually, or twice at least, yeah. I know the place.
Where are you living in there now? Are you in like Hanoi?
I'm in Da Nang, which is like a coastal city. Because I'm from a landlocked country, Czechia or Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Take your pick. It's the same thing. Same shit. And so obviously you want what you don't have. The grass is always greener on the other side. So I've never really... Because I've been to the sea maybe 3-4 times, and then a few times in Brighton, but that doesn't count. So obviously, when I had this option to where I was considering where exactly I should go, it made sense to pick a place like this. It's like about the fourth largest city here in Vietnam. The largest one is the capital is Hanoi, and then there is Ho Chi Minh City in the south. Those are the two biggest cities. Yeah, then you have like one more, and then Da Nang, I think. It has about 1.5 million inhabitants or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think they count me in that. I think I don't count as a foreigner. I think I'm just that. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I like the way you compared the beaches of Vietnam to Brighton.
No, it's especially the... What? We don't have the seagulls here. That's the main thing I noticed. There are a lot of seagulls in Brighton, but it's just so much colder there. There's only like 1 month if you can swim, really.
No, and that will do it. You can't swim anywhere in England. It's too cold.
I did swim in that. I did swim there in summer once. It was like 16 degrees. But only lasted for about 3 minutes, and certain parts of my body seemed unrecognizable to me.
Yeah, no, I never swim in England. It's just, this country's too cold for me. It's too cold. I want to leave.
Well, come here. You know, you're always welcome here. They always teach us here, to be fair.
Is it? I thought about
it. You should. Yeah, they come for a visit and then they see how you like it.
Yeah, I've got to go somewhere hot. I'm sick of England. Even the summer, like today, it's just cold and horrible.
Yeah. This is an opportunity for you to grumble, to be sort of, to complain about the weather. And to be honest, it's really raining here today as well, which is super unusual for this time of the year.
I thought I saw lightning at the back window behind you.
Yeah, it is lightning. I think there's some sort of like typhoon going over this area right now. But if I tell you that this is the first proper rain I've seen here since maybe January. Will you believe me? I'm not even kidding you.
Really?
Like, yeah. It hasn't rained this much since January. Because the rainy season...
In England, it rains a bit. No,
here is different, right? So in this part of the world, you have like rainy season and the dry season. It's just two seasons. And the rainy season takes about, I don't know, 3-4 months. But it's in autumn. In Da Nang, it's in autumn. In other parts in Vietnam, it could be... different months. And now we are kind of like the summer is in full swing and it's getting really hot. That's why I have to leave soon. I'm going back to Czechia for a bit, for a month or two. Yeah. Because the heat is just unbearable. You literally can't walk on the sand on the beach. It's really not possible. Yeah, it's how hot it is. Yeah.
I would like
on barefoot, you mean? I mean, you can walk with your shoes. Look.
I would like that though. I've never had heat in my life.
I know, man. Like that's the thing. Once you are here, I rarely go there anymore. That's the thing, right? Like once it's right under your nose, you sort of start taking it for granted. Like, does that happen to you?
That's
quite really common.
That's true. But people say that about like, London too. They go, oh, London's got so many exciting things. You go, yeah, it has. I do those things. And I'm sure if I left, I would suddenly be like, Oh no, like this place is boring. Whenever I go back to the countryside where I'm from, yeah, there's like a weird, your brain has to adjust a bit.
That's
because it's like, oh right, everything's silent and everything's quiet and nothing's happening. There's like, I want to go anywhere. There's like one bus a day. Sure.
I also like, when I go back, there's this small house I live in, and it's exactly as you say. Like, me coming back from COVID, in COVID time, I will never forget that. Like, coming back from London, back to Czechia during COVID, the first thing I noticed was just peace and quiet and the birds. The birds. Like, I couldn't hear any birds in London where I was. There, it was just the birds all the time with twittering. Or should I say, what is it now?
No,
X.
Really.
Oh, yeah, Twitter has changed. They have changed the name. So now it's X. You should say the birds are Xing or something.
Well, we can go back to twittering. Twittering has reassumed its old meaning, I guess.
Well, since Elon Musk can fall out with Donald Trump, the best mates, the bromance, then anything can happen. But
it's a weird one, that, isn't it? Like, it's just really strange. The world,
he's taking it back now as well. So he had a real go at Donald, but now he's taking some of it back, apparently. So I think they're going to make up again.
I don't know what's going on. It all seems very strange. I don't even know.
Yeah, bizarre. Bizarre.
I don't even know why Elon Musk was interested in joining his government.
It almost feels like it's part of some sort of written script or some kind of...
Yeah, almost.
It's like a show, right? Because Donald Trump likes TV.
Done by design. I'm just like, why would Musk, who's clearly intelligent and very, very rich and have lots of other things to be busy with, why would he join Trump's
government? Why wouldn't he team up with a guy like that?
Yeah.
What?
Well, he must have some sort of agenda to it. He must have.
Yeah. Oh, we've seen him like doing that Nazi gesture, or I don't know. That was a bit questionable, to say the least.
Yeah, it was just a
Nazi salute.
Yeah. I mean, like, it then was weird as well for a while when we had the Tories, and it was like Boris Johnson and then whoever came next. And it was like a very, well, the whole world is in a strange political
place. Every country is struggling a little bit. France and in Czechia right now we have like a decent, let's say, government, but suddenly there's like a sort of scandal with some bitcoins that basically one of the ministers received some sort of gift. No, I think it was a deal. He made a deal with someone who had just come back from prison. And that person had a lot of bitcoins, but he forgot his password. So they had to make a deal. And he would gift some of the money to the government. The government needed it for the budget. But now they found out that this money that he had made had been from darknet. Some weird stuff, like a lot of bitcoins, like loads of money. Anyway, mate,
I still can't get my head around Bitcoin. I still don't understand it. I don't understand how you can have an economy that doesn't exist.
No, I don't get it yet. Fine.
Like saying this pen is worth £1 million because I say so.
I don't understand it too either. It feels like it's a scam, basically, but maybe the people that own it, they say it's not because they need to scam us, right? And once we are there, once we are on their side, we are going to do the same to those that don't know. I don't know.
It could be that, or is it just like a rebel movement of like saying, oh, screw the bank, screw the government, we're going to have our own.
Something like that, man. Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, sorry, mate. I have to go because unfortunately we had some issues with technology. We wanted to record something longer, but I really apologize that I have to teach a class now. So hopefully this one comes out well and it comes down well with the listeners as well. I'm sure it will because
I just have to,
as always,
get all the first bit off because it was just fiddling around the cameras.
Yeah. So thank you very much for being back on the podcast and catching up with me. And I hope it's not the last time. And I hope next time it won't take another 4 years to do it.
I'll do another one for sure. Yeah, I'll get some better equipment in my house. Agenda. I just haven't got around to doing it. I've got to buy a new computer, a new phone.
All right, nice one. Thank you, everyone, for listening or watching on the YouTube channel. And have a good one, Kieran.
Have a good one. See you soon. Yeah. Enjoy.
Okay, Bobby.
Enjoy. Check.
I will. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Meow. Meow.
Shut up. I'm listening to the next English podcast.
You're listening to Zdenek's English Podcast, by far the greatest English podcast on earth for English learners since sliced bread. My name is Zdenek, and I'm your host.